revealed in the Holy Scriptures is a special relationship and personal bond of love, care, and devotion between God and his people. It is pictured and characterized by the bond between a shepherd and his sheep. The 23rd Psalm is known as the Shepherd's Psalm. It is one of the most famous, beloved, quoted, and memorized psalms of all. Though it is short and simple, it is packed with tremendous meaning for God's people. The title of my message today is, "The Lord is My Shepherd." Let's read Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Next slide. The word Lord that we read in Psalm 23 is 3060 in the Strong's Concordance. It's Yahweh, or the Tetragrammaton YHWH, describing God as eternal, self-existed one, and Lord. The word shepherd, number 7462, and the pronunciations Raha, Rohi, or Ro'ai, means to shepherd, to be a good friend, to feed, to supply with food. Together, Yahweh, Rohi, as we will come to see, that the eternal God, our Lord, is a good friend who provides nourishment as well as protection and rest for our weary minds and bodies. The prophet Ezekiel prophesied of a future event where this great shepherd will rule over Israel and subsequently the entire world under the section, God, the Good Shepherd. We read in Ezekiel 34, verses 13 through 16, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, Ezekiel 34, 13, 16, "I will bring them back home to their own land." Continuing in verse 14, "Yes, I will give them good pasture land on the high hills of Israel, where they will lie down in pleasant places and feed in the lush pastures of the hills. I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the Sovereign Lord." Verse 16, "And I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak." David himself, a shepherd, was inspired to write in Psalm 23 about that great shepherd, Yahweh Rohi, with regards to his relationship, his personal, loving, caring bond with his sheep, his flock. Let's, at this time, go ahead and look at Psalm 23 and understand how it relates to us, you and me, his sheep, the shepherd's sheep. Today, let's look into and reflect on this special shepherd-sheep relationship between Jesus Christ and his little flock. Okay. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's personal. A shepherd's relationship is that of a deep concern and care, not only for the sheep as a whole, but also for each individual sheep. A sheep is not a wild animal, but the shepherd considers it his own personal property. To acquire that sheep, a great price must be frequently paid by the shepherd. Thus, that sheep becomes highly valued. Philip W. Keller, himself a shepherd and author of the book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, speaks about this special relationship and bond between a shepherd and his sheep. He goes on to say, I recall quite clearly how in my first venture with sheep, the question of paying a price for my ewes was terribly important. They belonged to me by virtue of the fact that I had paid hard cash for them. It was money earned by blood, sweat, and tears drawn from my own body during the desperate grinding years of the Depression. And when I bought that first flock, that small first flock, I was buying them literally with my own body, which I had laid down with this day in mind. Because of this, I felt in a special way that they were, in very truth, a part of me. Continuing, Mr. Keller recalls, the day I bought my 30 ewes, my neighbor and I sat on the corral rails admiring the flock. Turning to me, he handed me a large, sharp knife. Well, Philip, they're yours. Now you'll have to put a mark on them. And I knew exactly what he meant. Each sheep man has his distinctive earmark, which he cuts into one or the other ear of the sheep. In this way, it's easy to determine to whom the sheep belongs. There was pain for both of us in that act. But from our mutual suffering, an indelible lifelong mark of ownership was made that could never be erased. Every sheep that came into my possession would bear my mark. John 10, verses 11 through 15. John 10, 11 through 15, New Living Translation. Jesus Christ states, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees the wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them, and he scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's only working for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. We can take great comfort that our Lord is very possessive and he's jealous for us. He has purchased us with his precious blood. God has placed a mark upon each and every one of us and has entered us into a book of remembrance and of life as his own possession for eternity. John 10, verse 27 and 28. John 10, 27 and 28, the Living Bible. My sheep recognize my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them away from me. How thankful we should be that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, because not all shepherds are good. Mr. Keller digresses. I can still see one of the sheep ranches in my district, which was operated by a tenant sheepman. No, he ought never have been allowed to keep sheep. His stock was always thin, weak, and riddled with disease and parasites. Again and again, the sheep would come and stand at the fence, staring blankly through the woven wire at the lush, green pastures which my sheep enjoyed. Had they been able to speak, I'm certain they would have said, "Oh, to be set free from this awful owner." God's word reveals a stark discrepancy between Jesus, the good shepherd, and the adversary and those hirelings who have no love or concern for the flock. As Jesus stated in John 10, verse 7 through 10, John 10, 7 through 10, New Living Translation. "I assure you, I am the gate for the sheep," he said. "All others who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. Wherever they go, they will find green pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give life and all its fullness." Being a good shepherd involves a constant, unfailing commitment to his sheep. Mr. Keller writes, "As their owner, I would have to lay my life down for them if they were to flourish and prosper." You know, sheep do not take care of themselves, as some might suppose. They require more than any other class of livestock of endless attention and meticulous care. It's no accident that God has chosen to call us sheep. You know, because the behavior of human beings and sheep is very similar in many ways. Our fears, our timidity, our stubbornness, our stupidity, our perverse habits are all parallels of profound importance. Yet despite these numerous adverse characteristics, Christ, the good shepherd, an overseer or guardian of our soul, is faithfully committed to our eternal salvation. He delights in caring for us and seeing us prosper. It's a bit staggering to comprehend as one considers the enormity and overwhelming magnitude of the vast universe. That powerful, glorious being, the Word, who created all things, would divest himself of his glory and become our Savior, become one of us, human. Jesus Christ knows us fondly and intimately. He deigns to call himself our shepherd and invites us to come and become one of his sheep. By virtue of being specifically chosen, we have become that special object of his affection and attention. Next slide. Psalm 21, verse 1, "I shall not want." As a shepherd, David understood the needs, wants, and concerns of a sheep and drew parallels with us, God's spiritual flock. We, like sheep, must rely on the good shepherd for everything. With God as his shepherd, David knew that his life would never be characterized by lack or by decrease. David trusted that all his needs would be met. He would not be left alone to struggle for the necessities of life. God would provide them. In Matthew 6, Jesus makes it clear we likewise shouldn't worry. God is going to faithfully provide for us. Next slide. Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? And what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So when David says, I shall not want, he is confidently affirming that God alone, as his shepherd, will faithfully supply all his needs. He is content and satisfied that God can and will truly fulfill his commitments. We too, as God's flock, can rest assured that our shepherd is sufficient and will supply all our needs. Therefore, we read in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4 and 5. We have such trust through Christ towards God that we are not sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Next slide. Psalm 23, verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know, it's almost impossible for a sheep to lie down and to be at rest unless they are free from hunger, from friction and tension of their own kind, from aggravation of parasites, and lastly, free from fear. Even the slightest suspicion of danger from predators, the defenseless sheep remains standing, ready to run and escape. Only the shepherd, by his presence, can provide comforting security. When the sheep see the shepherd in their midst, they can be assured to lie down with confidence. Next slide. We can be assured that the good shepherd is ever vigilant. Nothing escapes his notice. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 121, 1 through 4, New International Version. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Life is uncertain, full of hazards. Each day is a potential for trouble, disaster, and distress, isn't it? For his sheep, the unknown, the unexpected, unsettles us. Yet God is always with us. His calming, assuring spirit presence is constantly in our midst. His invincible power can comfort, settle, and strengthen us, even in the midst of a fiery trial or tribulation. We read in Psalm 46, verse 1. Psalm 46, verse 1. The New Century Version states, God is our protection and our strength. He always helps in times of trouble. Likewise, in 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7. Again, New Century Version. Be humble under God's powerful hand, so he will lift you up when the right time comes. goes on to say, give all your worries to him because he cares for you. That good shepherd cares for each and every one of us here. He's constantly vigilant. Next slide. Continuing in Psalm 23, verse 2, he leads me beside the still waters. David understood that sheep require a constant supply of good, clear water. If not led to a good source of water, sheep will go in search, and often they'll end up drinking polluted water, where they will pick up parasites, disease, and disease-causing germs. A sheep must have a good source of water, keeping them strong and fit. The shepherd will also diligently make sure to have his sheep out early, feeding on the dew-drenched vegetation. Next slide. We read in John 7, verse 37. John 7, verse 37. On that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." The good shepherd lovingly leads and guides his flock to the true source of pure, ever-living water. God's Holy Spirit is his solemn pledge and guarantee of eternal life. And we must imbibe of it daily. Christ told the Samaritan woman in John 4, verses 13 and 14. John 4, 13 and 14. He told the woman, "Anyone who drinks this water," it was the physical well water from Jacob's well. He says, "If anyone drinks this water, will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." Next image. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restores my soul. A cast sheep, a C-A-S-T, a cast sheep, is a pathetic sight. Lying on its back, its feet in the air, it flails away frantically, struggling to right itself and stand up. You know, the sheep will bleat for a little for help, but it generally lashes out about in a frightened frustration. If the shepherd doesn't arrive soon, the sheep will die. David understood their plight and drew parallels. Many times in the psalm, David was overwhelmed and dejected by his enemies. And you know, we too find ourselves overwhelmed and dejected by many sore trials that we come in contact with. And those also who scoff and taunt. We must likewise cry out to God, our shepherd, to set us aright, to get us back on our feet. We see that in Psalm 40, verses 13 through 15, the Living Bible. Psalm 40, verses 13 through 15. "Please, Lord, rescue me. Quick, come and help me. Confuse them. Turn them around and send them sprawling, all these who are trying to destroy me. Disgrace these scoffers with their utter failure." So we must cry out to God to help us with all the various challenges we have each and every day. Psalm 34, verse 6. Psalm 34, verse 6, New Living Translation states, "In my desperation I prayed, and the Lord listened, and he saved me from all my troubles." God is a faithful God. Next slide. Psalm 23, verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, sheep are creatures of habit. They tend to follow. Left to themselves, they will blindly, habitually, and stupidly follow the same path and trails, feeding on the same pasture, until they denude it and the ground is infested with disease and parasites. A wise shepherd is aware that fresh, healthy forage is a key to maintaining the flock's health. Therefore, he keeps the flock on the move. Hence, he undertakes a plan of action consisting of rotating from one field to the next. A shepherd deliberately leads or drives his sheep onto fresh range almost each day. John 14, verse 6 states, of Jesus Christ the Good Shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's see. Whenever a shepherd opens the gate to a new pasture, the sheep often kick up their heels with delight at the prospect of feeding on fresh green pasture. The good shepherd's desire is for us to lead and provide his flock towards a good way of life. John 10, verse 10. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. However, there's a good reason God calls us sheep, because we, like sheep, tend to be a stiff-necked and stubborn, being creatures of poor, destructive habits. We stupidly and blindly follow the ways of this world. Our selfish, prideful, self-willed attitudes result in a legacy of sin, suffering, and ruin. God wants to lead us in good paths. However, we don't always follow those paths. Isaiah 53, verse 6 states, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. I can certainly relate to that throughout my life, and I know we all can. And despite our tendency to wander, wanting our own way, Jesus Christ is determined to keep us on the right track, in the way of righteousness. The Good Shepherd, again, is very vigilant, watching over us. 1 Peter 2, verse 25. 1 Peter 2, 25. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. So we need to, as we heard in the first message, repent and seek the good shepherd and get back on paths of righteousness. Next slide. That really is a dark valley. Did not come over as well as I thought it. And Psalm 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. During the summer months, the shepherd is entirely all alone with his flock, far from the home range. In this setting, the sheep are in constant, intimate contact with the shepherd and under his personal attention day and night. This is a critical time, all the inherent challenges and dangers of rampaging rivers, avalanches, rock slides, poisonous plants, vicious predators are present. The Good Shepherd is prepared to safeguard every individual sheep of the flock. In this section of the Psalms, we witness the shepherd's personal relationship with each individual sheep. And it becomes most intimate as he addresses them by the personal pronouns of I and you. Under the care of a competent shepherd, sheep proceed to good pastures without fear. The sheep are comforted and assured as they undertake hazardous journey through the valleys towards the hills and mountain pastures, with the Good Shepherd leading and guiding. That's why we must follow him. In this life, as God's people, his flock must inevitably travel through some dark and treacherous valleys as we journey upward and onward towards the mountain of the Lord. God's kingdom, that's where we want to end up. As we encounter those dark times of serious personal trials, times of doubt, times of depression, times of illness, we are nonetheless comforted, strengthened, and assured by the presence of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Through his personal, loving, caring relationship with each of us individually, he endeavors to successfully help guide us through those many serious trials and challenges that we experience on life's hazardous journey. And next slide. Isaiah 41, New Living Translation, Isaiah 41, verse 10. God says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." And his hand is very powerful, and there's none that can stay it. Next slide. Psalm 23, verse 4, "Your rod and staff, they comfort me." In the Old Testament, the term passing under the rod often referred to the animal coming under the authority and control of the shepherd. The rod, a relatively short and heavy club-like device, which you can see on the left there, is the shepherd's main weapon of defense, both for himself and his sheep, defending against predators such as lions and bears. Another use for the shepherd's rod, if a shepherd sees a sheep wandering away on its own, or if it approaching a poisonous weed, or getting too close to danger of some kind, the club or the rod would go whistling through the air to send that wayward animal back to the flock. Again, we likewise tend to lose our focus on God and wander from his path. Therefore, God in many times hurls in our direction a painful trial to reprimand us, to get our attention, to get us back on the path, that path of righteousness. You know, God's rod of trials are painful. I think we've all experienced that. They hurt. But sometimes they're necessary. They wake us up. Yet they are necessary and ultimately beneficial, as it results in getting us back on track. Next slide. Proverbs 15, verse 10, New Living Translation. Proverbs 15, verse 10. "Whoever abandons the right path will be severely disciplined. Whoever hates correction will die." So we can take great comfort in being under God's authority. His sovereignty, his awesome power and strength provides protection from the adversary and this chaotic, evil world. So we must always be under the rod. Okay, if we could go back to the previous slide. The shepherd's staff is normally a long, slender stick with a hook on its end. On the right, you can see that. The shepherd's staff can be expertly used to reach out and draw an individual sheep to him for close examination. He can also use the staff to touch in a comforting manner to the delight of a particular sheep, giving it special attention. The staff also aids in guiding the sheep when the shepherd with his staff gently and skillfully guides his sheep into new and unfamiliar paths. When traversing rough terrain, the crook of the staff can be useful and beneficial because it aids in balancing the sheep, which keeps him from injuries. So he just touches it and moves it, especially in those craggy valleys that they are traveling. The staff is usually symbolic of God's spirit of long-suffering and kindness. With the Good Shepherd's gentle spirit, he helps guide and leads us to walk in the way of God. As we yield to God's spirit, we as sheep in God's fold have a sense of comfort and well-being, a sense of oneness with God and belonging to God. Okay, if we can go again back to the next scripture. Yes. And Psalm 37, verse 23. New Living Translation. And kind of continue with that, guiding and directing with the staff. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. We can see Jesus Christ gently leading us through life. Next slide. Psalm 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The high summer ranges are referred to as mesas or tables. Before the flock can be moved to higher ranges for grazing, a shepherd must go ahead of the sheep to evaluate, to prepare these important grazing ranges. He will check and eradicate poisonous weeds. He will distribute throughout the fields the necessary salt blocks. He will determine the best areas for bedding down of his sheep and for his camp. And he will look for signs and clues of wolves, coyotes, and other predators. He will map out the best way for the sheep to travel to access the fields. You know, there's an apt parallel for Christ the Good Shepherd and his flock. The Holy Scripture describes Jesus Christ as a pioneer who has gone before, blazing a trail for us to lie down in green pastures and to keep ever vigilant from predators. Next slide. We read in Hebrews 12, verse 2. Hebrews 12, verse 2, New International Version. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. As Christ went before us, blazing that trail, and has preeminence over all that we are and do. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. He has made every provision for our care, making sure that we can successfully overcome this life and its challenges. That's very comforting. He's gone before us to prepare and lead the way for us into the kingdom of God. Hebrews 4, verse 15. Hebrews 4, verse 15, the Good News Translation. Our high priest is not one who can feel, who cannot feel sympathy for our weaknesses. On the contrary, we have a high priest who was tempted in every way that we were, but did not sin. Next slide. Psalm 23, verse 6, you anoint my head with oil. Especially in the warmer summer months, various types of flies, gnats, and other winged parasites drive the sheep to distraction as they pester the animals trying to lay their eggs on their heads or damp mucous membranes. Sheep become frantic and panic with fear to elude their tormentors. Sheep will beat or brush against various trees, posts, brush to vainly get a relief from the aggravation of these pests. It's important to note that these parasites infestations spread readily among the flock. In cases of extreme infestation, they will lose weight. Some sheep may even die. To circumvent this, the shepherd will apply oil or a similar concoction to protect against these irritating pests. Once anointed, the aggravation, the irritability, the restlessness will immediately subside, and a peaceful contentment will ensue. The flock remains quiet and intact. Likewise, for the children of God, life is full of annoying irritations from people or events that we encounter daily. God's children, his flock, cannot risk being contaminated by the world. Today's destructive culture is largely responsible for shaping and negatively impacting people's minds. Therefore, we must quarantine ourselves from the works of the flesh. The anointing of God's Holy Spirit is truly the only antidote for that. Thankfully, as the shepherd, God graciously offers his Holy Spirit, a spirit of love, joy, peace, a spirit of contentment, gentleness, long-suffering, to help us cope with life's many trials, challenges, and frustrations. Thus, the resultant effect of his Holy Spirit is a flock that is settled and peaceful. Next slide. 1 Peter 5, verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter 5, 10 and 11. Reading from the English Standard Version. It states, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Next slide. Psalm 23, verse 7. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Goodness and mercy are the effects of a good shepherd's skilled and loving management, and which he provides for his flock. The sheep rest placidly in assurance and in confidence. That term, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, is intended for God's people as an exclamation of implicit confidence in our shepherd. And we should have that confidence in our shepherd. Of course, it's simple to parrot those words when things are going well, isn't it? When income is prosperous, health is excellent, family is flourishing. It's another story when they're not. And our trust in the Good Shepherd and care, Good Shepherd's care and guidance is tested. And it will be tested for all of us. Again, Mr. Keller, from Mr. Keller, what happens when one's body breaks down, when a spouse or a family member dies in degrees under appalling pain? When my job folds up or no money to pay the bills, when the children can't make the grades in school or get caught running around with the wrong crowd? There were events, he goes on to say, in which at the time seemed like utter calamities, times that were black as night and paths that seemed like blind alleys. With my tendency of fear and worry, I was tempted to panic, to bolt, to leave his care, despite my doubts and misgivings about his management of my care. He did not give up on me. He picked me up and bore me back again with great tenderness. I realized that for the one who is truly in Christ's care, no difficulty can arise, no dilemma emerge, no seeming disaster can descend in life without the eventual good coming out of the chaos. To experience the Master's goodness in my life has become the great foundation of my faith and confidence in him. Romans 8, verses 37 through 39. Romans 8, verses 37 through 39, today's English version. No, in all these things we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from his love, neither death nor life nor angels nor other heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. Next slide. Psalm 23, verse 8. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The shepherd has guided the sheep down from the green summer mountain pastures. Fall has come, and it's time to rest the flock back at the home range for the long, quiet winter. They are sheltered in the owner's corral, barns, or shelters. The psalm concludes with the sheep resting, fully content, satisfied with their lot in life, at home with the shepherd, who has developed and displayed a great love and devotion for his flock. And he would never deign to part with his sheep who are healthy, sheep who are healthy, contented and productive. They are his delight, and the bonds are strong. The Amplified Version states that we will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. Many of us here in the flock are at a stage heading down towards the owner's range. We look forward to abiding with the Good Shepherd forever in a world of abundant green pastures and pure crystal clear water. No dangers, no fears, no diseases. Next slide. We read in Revelation 7 of this time, Revelation 7, verses 14 through 17, today's English version. And he said to me, these are the people who have come safely through the terrible persecution. They have washed their robes and made them white with the blood of the Lamb. That is why they stand before God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will protect them with his presence. Never again will they hunger or thirst. Neither sun nor any scorching heat will burn them, because the Lamb who is in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. next time. Let's conclude today's message by reading Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5, the New Living Translation. Psalm 100, verse 1 through 5. And interesting, we sang Psalm 100 in the early section of the hymns. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. And his faithfulness continues to each generation. Brethren, what a wonderful hope and future we have been called to be a part of. As sheep in his fold, how thankful each and every one of us should be that the Lord is my shepherd.